Let's start with that you received some good news in November. Let's start on the positive, okay? You got a couple of grants from the State Board of Education?
We did. And that was very exciting to actually have some good news coming out of Springfield for a change.
For preschool and early childhood education?
It's for preschool, so Preschool for All, which is for 3 to 5 year old children who meet some of the high risk eligibility requirements to be at possible risk of not maybe doing as well in school when they start their public school educational career in kindergarten.
Okay.
So we're serving 2 classrooms of additional children, so 40 additional children there, which is super exciting. And then the Prevention Initiative serves 0 to 3 age children. That's a home visiting model instead of coming to the classroom like the Preschool for All is. And we got 4 additional home visitors and a doula that's a pregnancy counselor, so we can actually start intervening in families who have the need before the child's even born, which is just super, super exciting, and where all the research is saying you can get the most impact for your intervention dollars.
What is the time period for these grants? Is it just a one-year grant and you have to reapply?
Right now, yes. These grants will expire June 30th of this year, and we will reapply. Actually, the reapplication process for the upcoming fiscal year is beginning even as we speak.
What are the prospects for re-upping the grant? Do they look good at this point?
Well, I'm an optimist at heart, so I'm going to say yes. We were led to believe by Illinois State Board of Education that folks that received additional dollars back in November when we found out about the 2 grants you just mentioned were in a good place to be funded going further. But as we well know, there are no guarantees in life. So,
do these grants essentially refund positions that you had to let go before? Or are these brand new positions for you?
These are brand new positions in a different direction than folks that we've had to let go. It's a different program specialty and subset and target population. So it isn't just refunding what we lost through the state budget situation.
Okay, so this is probably going to be the end of the optimistic part of our conversation, but I mean, do you have a gauge, though, even though you're able to expand those services, do you have a gauge on how many children, families might be able to be served with even more funding? I mean, there's a lot more out there?
Well, we ran this program before November, both of these programs, Preschool for All and the Prevention Initiative, on a smaller scale, and we had waiting lists, which is one of the reasons why we got the money from ISBE to expand.
Okay.
So would I think that that would be likely to continue in the future? Probably yes, as other agencies close down programs and aren't available to serve families. Families are scrambling at this point, looking for help wherever they can get it. Now, that is a fairly narrow target population, 0 to 3 and 3 to 5. There are a lot of kids in McLean County that fit in that age demographic. So, the need is out there, certainly greater than the funding level that we see right now.
Okay. When you talked with Charlie Schlenker last year, you said you had to lay off 4 home visitor staff from the Healthy Family Illinois program, and you moved others around because the state still owed you $500,000. Where do you stand with that right now?
Well, even with the stopgap budget that was in place from July 1st through December 31st, that's now gone again, we were not allowed to rehire those positions. The funding was too insecure. And that program has different eligibility requirements than the new program that we just talked about, the new grant through Illinois State Board of Education. So it's still fruit salad, maybe apples and oranges, but not exactly the same program. Healthy Families Illinois was more of a focus on health and parental bonding, and the ISBE Prevention Initiative and the Preschool for All is really more education focused. And again, they're both great focuses. There's nothing wrong with either one, but they are slightly different. So a family that was eligible for one might not be eligible for the other. So we couldn't just convert those families over. So if you had a book that you were reading and you were really enjoying it and you felt like, maybe it was a self-help book and it was really doing something for you and helping you out, but you had other things that you needed to go do. So you put your placeholder in the book and you set it down on the coffee table, and maybe a week later you came back to pick that book up. How would you feel if somebody had jerked out 3 chapters out of that book and now you weren't going to be able to read them? So the human service infrastructure in Illinois is not like a book that you can just sit down, not fund, and then pick it up, 6 weeks later, 6 months later, and then expect everything to be just like it was. Even if a program isn't closing and that stat we have funding to pay a staff person, we are losing people out of human services now at an alarming rate because they're worried if they're going to have a job in a month.
Where are they going? Are they going out of state in similar positions? Are they moving within the state?
They're going out of state to similar positions. I've seen that happen. I've also seen people who are social workers decide that they're going to go work in a completely different field somewhere. You know, I've seen some staff leave and go into the retail field. They have families to feed too, and mortgage payments to make. And if you didn't know from day to day if your paycheck was going to be there, that's stressful too on people.
You sort of get to the question I was going to have just down the road, but how demoralizing is this? And as a manager, how do you deal with this and how do you motivate people?
It's really, really difficult. You have people who want to help families. They want to help children. They want to make a difference in their community. And they feel like their hands are tied, or they feel like there's something called secondary post-traumatic stress disorder. We've all heard of post-traumatic stress disorder. I think people are fairly familiar with that term. But secondary post-traumatic stress disorder is a well-researched issue that impacts people who help others, who help people who've been exposed to trauma. So it isn't your trauma. You didn't live it yourself. But every day you're working with people who've been highly traumatized and are really struggling. At some point, that bleeds over into your own self. And so these are hard, stressful jobs to begin with. And then when you add the budget insecurities on top of it, people get to a stress level where they can't take it anymore. And I, as a manager in good faith, would feel duplicitous encouraging people to stay if the stress was such that it was impacting their own health in a negative way. So I've seen great people leave that I'm sad to see go that have done good work with families, but they can't take it anymore. It's tough. It's really tough.
To get to specific numbers, the Healthy Families Illinois, where should you be ideally numbers-wise, and where exactly are you now?
We now are serving probably about 10% of the 10 to 15% of the families that we should be serving. So maybe 15 families instead of 150.
I mean, realistically, that you could be serving extra special budgeting?
Oh, just with our regular budget that we had before this whole debacle started. Yeah.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton talking with Lisa Piper, Regional Vice President for Children's Home and Aid. You had a conversation with Charlie Schlenker last May, and I want to play you something that you told him last time. The conversation was along the lines of, you know, the state was late on paying already like $500,000. And he asked you at that time if you were worried also that the state contracts, some state contracts, might never even return. I'm going to play you what you said.
The one that falls into that category is the one for the Butterfly Project that we just talked about, the kids exposed to violence. We signed our part of the contract and we sent it back, but we never got the signed back from ICEJA. The $500,000 is DHS money, and we have a signed contract for that. The state signed it. We signed it. We've been providing services all year at, you know, maybe not at 100% level as soon as we saw the handwriting on the wall with the budget. So the Butterfly Project one is the one. I mean, I'm very worried about both of them, but that one in particular.
The Butterfly Project, you were worried 9 months ago. I'm guessing you're still very worried or even more so?
Yeah, we're past worried. The Butterfly Project was completely unfunded.
It was.
In the FY16 budget and completely unfunded in the current FY17 budget. For all intents, as far as the state's considered, it's gone.
So you have no one working on the Butterfly Project
now? We have one staff person.
Okay.
One staff person in the Butterfly Project, and she is able to serve a handful of families. And what we are doing is we are billing Medicaid for those services. So the family has to be Medicaid eligible. And we're still able to serve a very small handful of families, the most, you know, the highest critical need. And then they also have to be Medicaid eligible as well.
Why is this program so important? Who does it serve and how do they serve?
Well, I mean, for me, it's a professional commitment as well as a professional ethical commitment, I guess. it serves very young children from birth to 5 years old and their family. That these children have been exposed to violence of some sort. For most of our families, about 90%, that's some sort of domestic violence, you know, partner abuse in their home of their nuclear family. It can also be community violence, neighborhood violence. We have served children who witness drive-by shootings here in Bloomington Normal, which is really sad, but it does happen. So these very young children see that violence and it becomes part of who they are. Okay. Most of these children have not had a hand laid to them, but they have witnessed someone they love be injured, a family member be injured, a friend be injured, killed even sometimes. And if you do any kind of professional research on brain development and child development, those children, the impact of witnessing that violence is more severe to their future emotional and mental health than actually if they'd been struck themselves.
Really?
Yes. And that's the exact reaction, John. That's the exact reaction that most people have.
Seems counterintuitive, yeah.
But the research is out there, and it's proven over and over and over again for decades that it's true.
Wow. In light of the budget situation, how far out is it realistic for you to budget? How do you even look at budgeting? Are you looking at it as, okay, we're probably not going to get funding here, it's probably going to be reduced here, or do you look at core programs? And I imagine you think almost everything is core by now, mm-hmm. because it's serving so many right. needy people. How do you budget? How do you forecast something like that?
Well, I pull my crystal ball out and it's you're right. Everything is core at this point, and there's nothing, you've heard, cut the fat from the budget. I mean, we're anorexic. We've got nothing, to cut. My staff are in their second year of no raises whatsoever. We try and raise more money. I have a board of directors that is amazing, that has risen to this challenge and is doing everything physically possible to help with charitable fundraising, to replant or to replace some of those dollars that we've lost. And then you hear the news. It seems like it's bad news everywhere. So, funding being cut or programs being cut, and it's next to impossible to do a budget because it's really feels like hitting a moving target, and you never know where it's going to move to next.
Lisa Piper, Regional Vice President with Children's Home and Aid. Hopefully 2017 is a better year. Thank you for coming in and updating us.
Happy to do it.